to crowded streets there. Officials said Alexandria Port had been closed since 6 a.m. Airport sources said visibility was so poor at the Aswan airport that they forced one Aswan-bound flight to return to Cairo. Forget it, in other words. And then I've got this. This comes from, let me see what the source is here, CBS News. And the headline is, Global Warming's Impact is Clear. Subheadlines, accounts for record U.S. temperatures. Coastal cities at risk of stronger hurricanes, floods. And then check this headline out. FEMA says it's time to prepare for consequences. I read this to you last night. In addition, it says January, February, and March temperatures in the U.S. were the warmest ever in the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's 106 years of record keeping. Now, we keep hearing that about months and years past. Linda, welcome back.
Thanks, Art.
I sent that to you, by the way.
What?
This story I just read.
Yes, and stronger winds and global warming, you're going to hear all about it from some of the lead researchers in the world. And tonight, after I'm off the air, some of the graphics from NOAA and from NASA concerning these latest temperature data, I'll have at my website, which is www.earthfiles.com, in the environment section. And in the environment section, people can also see two reports that I did with Dr. Neil Cherry from New Zealand on the cell phone and microwave issue. I've had probably 150 emails from people with questions about cell phones and microwave exposure, and Dr. Cherry was good enough to take some of the questions and answer them, and they are at the website in the environment section on microwaves, and so will be this report tonight about what is happening from Arctic ozone to global warming to the oceans are even getting deeper 1,000 feet down. And I'm going to start out with this winter. NASA and a European commission sent two NASA research aircraft up to 70,000 feet above northern Sweden to measure gases in the upper atmosphere. The specific concern was ozone levels. The stratosphere was much colder than normal this winter, which makes ozone deterioration worse. And even though satellites and ground instruments monitor the atmosphere, there had not been direct measurement by instruments on a high-flying plane since 1992. The result? More than 60% of the Arctic ozone at 11 miles above the North Polar region had deteriorated. And the European Commission announced, quote, these are among the largest chemical losses at this altitude observed during the last 10 years.
Excuse me, Linda, what was the percentage, please?
60%, 60%.
60%.
Yep. And to keep that in perspective, that happens in the spring. There is this cyclic ebb and flow at both the North and the South Poles because the stratosphere is so cold, and that's when the sun comes back from winter into spring, and that's when the ozone holes have been getting large every year. And then they tend to fill up a little bit as the summer goes, and then they start widening again. And this was huge in the Arctic. We've been used to the Antarctic being big, but this was big for the Arctic. Now, the lead U.S. atmospheric physicist on this mission is Dr. Paul Newman at the NASA Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland. Since the ozone layer was supposed to be improving after nations agreed at the beginning of the 1980s, to cut back chlorofluorocarbon emissions, known as CFCs, I ask him why ozone over the Arctic today is now 15% below where it was in the early 1970s.
Okay.
Here is Dr. Paul Newman from NASA Goddard.
Okay. From NASA.
The reason that we now have large ozone losses is of course, because in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, we were producing a lot of CFCs. So the CFC growth rate was fairly fast. and the time it takes for it to come out of the atmosphere is very, very long. So what you're going to have is you're going to have ozone losses as the CFCs built up over the last two decades. We guaranteed that we were going to have ozone losses well into the middle of the next century. Now, this year in particular was bad for a couple of reasons. First of all, as I mentioned, there's a lot of chlorine up there in the stratosphere. In fact, there's a lot of chlorine down here in the lower atmosphere. We're breathing those CFCs right now. But because you have a lot of chlorine up there, that chlorine gets broken down into forms that are fairly ozone benign. What happens is when those benign forms of chlorine come in contact with polar stratospheric clouds, these very beautiful clouds we see up there in the Arctic, they get converted into a chlorine form that's very reactive and can destroy ozone very fast. Now, the second ingredient here is, of course, we have all the chlorine we need, but the second ingredient is that it has to get very cold to form these polar stratospheric clouds. Once you form the polar stratospheric clouds, then you put the chlorine into a reactive form that can destroy ozone rapidly. And that's the difference between what we saw in the past and what we now see. In the past, there wasn't much, there were polar stratospheric clouds, but there was no chlorine. Now, we have both polar stratospheric clouds and a lot of chlorine, so we get a lot of reactive chlorine that destroys ozone very rapidly.
Now, is that tied to Gibbs's computer model that projected that with global warming, a warming at the lower altitudes in the atmosphere, that there could be a consequential increasing cold in the higher stratosphere?
The GIST model has forecasted colder temperatures because of greenhouse gas changes.
Mm-hmm.
So we're beginning to be a bit more worried that, in fact, the reason that we're having these colder winters is because of increased greenhouse gases.
So,
but we don't have a one-to-one connection between those two things. What's happening is, yes, ironically, the greenhouse gas changes will warm the surface, and they will cool the stratosphere. Because the stratosphere gets colder, you get more polar stratospheric clouds, which means you convert a benign form of chlorine into a highly reactive form of chlorine, which then destroys ozone very rapidly. So the connection is, it's the greenhouse gases that are creating more polar stratospheric clouds, which then causes more ozone loss.
And in the most accurate computer models that you're working with now, what are the implications for the next, say, 20 years if ozone loss over the Arctic and the Antarctic continues to be severe?
Well, I mean, the implications is that in the end, what happens to low ozone air is it gets mixed across the northern hemisphere. So mid-latitudes, if we have a severe Arctic loss, that low ozone air gets mixed down into the mid-latitudes, and it will reduce the amount of ozone in the mid-latitudes where we live. And that means that you'll get a slightly increased ultraviolet radiation at the surface. And, of course, increased ultraviolet radiation means things like more severe sunburns, or sunburns take a shorter time to occur, and all the health consequences of increased ultraviolet radiation on the surface. That's what we're principally worried about.
And skin cancers.
Skin cancers are directly related to your total amount of solar exposure. And so a considerable increase in UV radiation means more skin cancer if people don't change their behavior. Don't get those sunburns. Wear your sunscreen and wear your hat. That's the best guidance I can give everybody.
Right. Yeah. Well, what kind of reduction in ozone over the United States are we experiencing now?
Well, if you go back into the 1970s and look at the levels that we had back then, there's been about something like a 10%, some 8 to 10% reduction in ozone over the United States during the springtime, which is quite a bit of reduction, and it's a thing to worry about.
Do we have any idea in computer models how much loss of ozone would it take before we would have a serious and immediate consequence on surface life?
Well, you know, I really don't see that happening. I mean, the worst thing I've heard of, I actually have heard of incidents where the ozone hole has, the edge of the ozone hole has passed over the Falkland Islands. In fact, I heard of a young girl who decided to go out sunbathing on the same day that the rim of the ozone hole drifted over, and within 5 minutes she had second-degree burns.
Oh, my God.
So,
I mean, but that was a case of the ozone hole drifting fairly far north away from Antarctica. It had very low ozone levels and a very high sun.
But your point is that in that condition, a person on the ground could get second-degree burns over their entire body within 5 minutes.
Well, the exposed parts of the body.
How far into this 21st century will we continue to go with a lot of ozone loss before we're not having such huge holes again?
Yeah. Well, the ozone hole will begin to go away sometime, as I mentioned earlier, sometime in the middle of the next century, 2050, 2070 or so.
Actually, we won't have big losses over the Arctic and the Antarctic by then if everything continues to heal as it is now.
That's right. Now, the worry about the Arctic is that the actual recovery of ozone in the Arctic will be delayed by greenhouse gases.
Global warming.
That's right.
So, in summary, we are in a time in which the Arctic and the Antarctic holes could actually continue to be worse over the next few years before they get better, depending upon what does happen with global warming and its relationship to ozone deterioration, but that in approximately 50 or 60 years, if all else continues to heal in the ozone, we could be back to early 1970 levels?
That's right. If chlorine and bromine compounds continue to decrease, as they appear to be doing right now, global warming will lead to a cooling of the stratosphere, which should make the problem a little bit worse. But eventually, chlorine and bromine are going to decrease in the stratosphere, and that'll lead to a recovery of ozone levels in the stratosphere.
In addition to global warming making the stratosphere colder and ozone holes bigger, for the first time, there is now hard scientific data that the oceans are warming up, too. In the March 30, 2000 journal Science, there is a report by Sidney Levitis, chief of the Ocean Climate Lab at NOAA, that summarizes 5 million temperature profiles measured in the world's oceans over the past half century. The oceans have warmed up 0.11 degrees Fahrenheit as far down as 10,000 feet. The greatest warming was at 900 feet, where the average heat content increased by 0.56 degrees Fahrenheit, a little more than half a degree. Jim Hansen, director of NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies, said computer models predicted that eventually, quote, global warming would heat the oceans to this magnitude. So now this temperature data confirms that the Earth is heating up, unquote. I asked NOAA's Sidney Levitis if he was surprised by the deep ocean temperature increase.
Well, one of the major surprises is that of the total increase of heat content over the last 40 years, half of it is coming from depths below 300 meters or approximately 1,000 feet. This was really unexpected that these changes from this region of the ocean would be so large. And it really changes our thinking. We have to now consider the deep ocean to be much more active on periods of 40 years or so than we had ever previously thought. Another surprise was just the extreme state in which the North Atlantic has gone into during the past several years, particularly in 1998, there was a warming in the subtropical North Atlantic that really exceeded anything we expected based on all the historical data we had. So, you know, we know the atmosphere has become extremely warm, and parts of the ocean have also become extremely warm, and this was
the degree to which it became warm in the North Atlantic really surprised us.
And the implications of this would be in relationship to the whole question, are we in a serious global warming that's related to greenhouse gases? What does this new data say about that question?
For many years, these models did not include the ocean, and the models predicted much larger increases in atmospheric temperature than has been observed. And so critics said the models are too sensitive, and the climate modelers responded that, well, we believe this heat's going into the ocean. Mm-hmm. And our results confirm that a lot of heating has occurred during the last 40 years, and in fact, quantitatively, the increase we see is consistent with the predictions made by the climate modelers.
All right, we're going to hold it right there and go ahead and do our bottom of the hour break. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
America, and a guy from anywhere, go to sleep a pauper and wake up a millionaire. In America, and a kid without a cent, get a break and maybe grow up.
On Coast to Coast AM, Art Bell finds out that opening a line for possessed callers can have foul results.
To our first time caller line, we venture. Are you possessed?
Yes, I am.
By what?
Well, Mike the Headless Chicken.
Mike the Headless Chicken?
Yes, Art. It's true.
What qualities or thoughts of a chicken go rumbling through your possessed head to make you believe this?
I started noticing when I was taking a shower.
Yeah.
Something comes over me and I start squawking like a chicken.
Can you let me hear what it sounds like? I realize we don't have the echo of the shower. Yeah, that sounds like Mike, all right. But because he was headless, it would be more of a muffled. So make the same sound, but put your hand in front of your face like that. That's it.
Yeah.
That's Mike. All right, sir. Thank you very much, and good luck.
Please, Lord, if I'm abducted, don't let it be the grays. The short little guys with the big black eyes from a galaxy far away. I've heard some more stories, been digging in the dead at night. Laid out on the table like a Christmas turkey, afraid I'd die from fright. They can paralyze you with their eyes and levitate you out of bed. Pull you right up through the ceiling, start messing with your head. Now if they would just stop at that, I wouldn't mind too much. But I heard they'll throw you up and down and you won't like where they touch.
Are you tired of those annoying alien abductions? Don't you wish there was a safe, humane way to repel those nasty little grays before they got a chance to lay their tiny four-fingered hands on your bod? Well, wish no more. Introducing Art Bell's Gray Away Spray. That's right. Now you and your entire family can spray those pesky grays away with Art's amazing new Gray Away Spray. Gray Away contains a patented mixture of extraterrestrial pepper, garlic, and horseradish, which has been extracted lovingly and gathered from planets in our very own Milky Way galaxy. Just one squirt of Gray Away into those huge black eyes of the alien intruder, and ouch! You've just ruined Mr. Gray's abduction plans. Don't worry. The burning sensation is temporary, and little gray alien will completely recover within 15 minutes. Call now for your can of Art Bell's Gray Away Spray. Supplies are limited. Call 555-ALIEN-IQ. That's 555-ALIEN-IQ. Operators are standing by.
Think about it. Recently on Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell, a caller made a shocking discovery about the very nature of Art himself.
First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Is this Art?
What's your best guess?
This is a pre-recorded voice, isn't it?
Damn, do you know that you're only like the fifth caller to discover that, sir?
No, I'm serious.
I'm serious, too. You're only the fifth one in the history of the show You're only the fifth caller.
It's all pre-recorded then.
That's right. You as a caller, one of the few callers in all these years have gotten that.
That's not right, though. It shouldn't be a voice recording. It should be a human being.
I'm sorry. The time for human beings is coming to an end.
Are you serious?
As serious as I've been about the rest of this call. You've got your radio on, so turn your radio off.
Is this Art?
Yes, it is. Extinguish your radio, please.
Okay, just saying.
Yes, turn your radio off.
Who is this?
What's your best guess?
Are you Art Bell?
No, I'm Harry. Turn off the radio. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Who am I calling?
Well, now, with regard to who you're calling, you would know more about that than I would.
I'm trying to reach Art Bell.
Uh-huh. Who do you think you've reached?
Oh, I have no idea. So who?
Well, you wanted what kind of pizza?
Oh, I don't want any pizza. No, thanks.
You did order one, anchovies, right?
No anchovies. I can't stand anchovies.
Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Be sure to turn your radio off, know who you're calling, and know who you are.
Are you sure you're canceling this order, then?
No pizza.
All right. Well, all right. Fine.
Born in the world with a microphone, I say a bad to the bone. Like a bandolier, I walk alone. Bad to the bone. Born in the world with a microphone. Bad to the bone. Like a bandolier, I walk alone. I'm dead. I'm not dry left.
From the Kingdom of Nye, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
Couldn't resist that. We're talking about some pretty serious stuff here. Life and death issues. We're talking about our environment. And I've got quite a bit of input. We've got a little more of an interview to get through, and then Linda and I will chat about it. Do you want to melt away excess body fat and trim those unwanted inches? If you think Metabolife works, listen closely. Introducing Ultimate Slim, a unique all-natural formula designed to metabolize fat into energy and rid your body of excess water weight so you'll quickly lose pounds and inches within minutes. You're going to feel more energy. Within days, you'll lose inches. Your clothes will be looser. And within weeks, your waist will be thinner. Ultimate Slim is perfect if you want a lean, sexy body, but don't have time for a lot of caloric counting or long, sweaty workouts. If your goal is to lose inches from your hips, thighs, waist, and buns quickly and easily, then Ultimate Slim is for you. Here is a special introductory offer for a limited time only. When you order two bottles of Ultimate Slim, you get two more absolutely free. Now, that's 50% off, averaging to just $14.97 per bottle, a tremendous savings off the typical $30 to $40 for comparable products. So call now, 1-800-557-4627. That's 1-800-557-4627. 1-800-557-4627. A medical journal recently called it a silent epidemic. Thousands and thousands of Americans suffer or even die each year from ulcers and other stomach-related problems caused by aspirin, ibuprofen, and related drugs. If you're an arthritis sufferer and you want to avoid these internal medications, now there is an alternative you should know about, a product called Jointritis. Available at Walgreens, Osco, Save-On, and Meijer, Jointritis combines a powerful and clinically proven external pain relief medicine with lanolin, glucosamine, and chondroitin. The menthol in Jointritis is the strongest pain reliever of its type available without a prescription. And because of its triple skin conditioners, Jointritis penetrates deeply and works fast to relieve minor arthritis pain. Jointritis is applied externally, so there are no internal side effects, which some pain pills can cause. New Joint Ritis, arthritis pain relief ointment with triple skin conditioners, lanolin, glucosamine, and chondroitin. Joint Ritis for joint relief, now available at Walgreens, Osco, Save-On, and Meijer. Just a little sidebar again to the first hour, and whatever kind of helicopter that was with a weapons platform on it, here's some information for you on the Hellfire missile. Hellfire is an air-to-ground missile system designed to defeat tanks and other individual targets while minimizing the exposure of the launch vehicle to enemy fire. Hellfire uses laser guidance and is designed to accept other guidance packages. It is used on helicopters against heavily armored vehicles at longer standoff distances than any other Army missiles now in the inventory. The Hellfire 2 is the optimized version of the laser family of Hellfire missiles. The Longbow Hellfire modular missile system is an air-launched, radar-aided, inertially guided missile that utilizes millimeter wave radar technology. Current launch platforms, listen carefully, include the AH-64 Apache helicopter and the Navy AH-1W. The system is also qualified for use on the UH-60 Blackhawk and has been tested for use on the high-mobility multipurpose wheeled vehicle. So there's a little information for you on the Hellfire. What I want to do now is return to Linda Moulton Howe and to finish the interview, and we terminated the interview at the bottom of the hour, as we went into the bottom of the hour, as we were hearing that it matched up to the models, I believe. Linda?
Yeah, Art, before the break I asked Sidney Levitas, who's director of the Deep Ocean Temperature Research, what ocean warming says about serious global warming related to industrial greenhouse gases. Here is Mr. Levitas.
Results confirm that a lot of heating has occurred during the last 40 years, and in fact, quantitatively, the increase we see is consistent with the predictions made by the climate modelers, and so it lends strong support to the case that's been made that we're going to see an increase in atmospheric temperatures due to increasing greenhouse gases.
And that the missing heat is trapped in the ocean.
It's there in the oceans, but it's quite possible the ocean's starting to give some of that up. This has been happening in the northern North Atlantic since 1971. But it's very difficult for us to separate out natural variability from what we call human-induced or anthropogenic effects.
But isn't this new data that you have gathered in the last 7 years really piling up on the side that something really outside of statistical abnormalities in the Earth's changes is beginning to happen if 1,000 feet down the oceans have warmed up almost half a degree?
Well, that's a very good point, and the evidence is pointing towards, in my view, towards human-induced effects. But we have acquired these data, published these results, and we will be doing much more work with these data in order to sort out the effects of natural variability versus human-induced changes. And personally, I believe that we're seeing human-induced changes in the atmosphere in the ocean. But I'm being somewhat conservative because I think we need more time to examine the data. We need to keep building better databases. But I don't believe the results are going to change. I think we're going to see there is a preponderance of evidence now that we're seeing a human-induced warming.
Would the recent break-off on the Ross Ice Shelf in the Antarctic, it was a huge block of ice twice the size of the state of Delaware, would that be related in any way to ocean warming?
It will be. It's related to warming of the atmosphere and ocean, probably. The parts of the Antarctic have been warming, and they have been warming for quite a long time, even before the
buildup of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, and so that's what I mean when I say there's natural variability also, where the Earth is still coming out of the last ice age, which reached its peak in 18,000 years ago. And so it's probably due to both, but certainly if the atmosphere continues to warm, we may see increased break-off of ice masses from the Antarctic, as well as melting perhaps in part of the Greenland ice sheet. I think some of the more recent findings are that the West Antarctic ice sheet is much more stable than it than previously thought, but that the Greenland ice sheet is less stable than previously thought. So there is really no question that sea level has risen even in the past century. I think it's on the order of about a foot or about 6 inches to a foot.
Mm-hmm.
We know the sea level rise is occurring. We have very good evidence of it.
Islands are going under in the Pacific.
Yeah. And in some coastal areas, the subsidence, there's not only sea level rising, but in some areas like the northeast part of North America, the land is sinking. It's still showing changes due to the melting away of the continental ice caps that were at a maximum 18,000 years ago. So locally, you can have not only changes due to global sea level rise, but
another
sea level rise due to land subsidence.
You got two things going on. Land could be sinking while the oceans are rising.
Yeah, exactly, and that really increases the effect. And so, these are going to have tremendous implications for the future and what we need to do. But the fear, again, is not so much the, if there are long-term small changes, one can mitigate. I mean, you have to move populations. You can build dikes in some areas. But if there's an abrupt change because the climate system has changed quickly on a period of a decade, we're going to not be able to, I think, mitigate that very well.
And that kind of abrupt change is what we will hear about from Dr. Drew Schindel at NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies in a while. But now, Art, I wondered what your reaction was to that recounting of the girl going out and getting entire second-degree sunburn in 5 minutes.
That was an astounding story, Linda, with the ozone hole just moving while she was out sunbathing. But, Linda, let me tell you something. My dad, when he was young, you know, nobody talked about ozone holes and nobody talked about CFCs and nobody talked about sun exposure being a problem. And he spent a whole lot of time in the sun, Linda. He's dying now of melanoma, which has metastasized to his lungs, and he's dying. And he told me, and I'm sure he would want everybody in the audience to know, that you really, really have to be careful about your exposure to the sun.
Yeah.
You know, he was a young man. He did a lot of surfing. He did a lot of, spent a lot of time at the beach. It was a time when a tan was the fashionable thing to have. When I was very young, I got burned several times. We took trips to Florida as a family, and it was his way of life. And he has warned me repeatedly through this terrible cancer that he has about exposure to the sun. Well, fortunately, I was kind of a geek as I grew up, and I retreated to an inside radio room and spent a lot of time exposing myself to electromagnetic radiation, but I stayed out of the sun. So
sort of counterbalancing the exposures, Art.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you something I learned from Dr. Paul Newman that surprised me. When you think of the Earth and you think of ozone, which we can't see, but without that ozone layer, the surface of the Earth would be sterilized, literally. That is not a hyperbole. That's not an exaggeration. If there was no ozone layer, the ultraviolet radiation from the sun would sterilize the surface of the Earth and nothing could live. And now, having said that, and the saving grace is that we have an atmosphere that we breathe that is about 28% oxygen and a lot of nitrogen, and that that oxygen is always in a process of being hit by sun energy and then splitting off, and we will always have ozone being made, thank heaven. The problem now is that we have been dealing with an industrial age that has been putting bromine and chlorine in and destroying ozone and destroying it in places that if you went back before the 1970s, two areas that should have strong ozone layer areas because of the way ozone works is as you go further north in the latitudes of the planet, you should have stronger ozone, meaning over the north and the south poles.
Right.
Now, this is what I learned, and I hope that all of you sun, ocean, lovers will listen to this, because it's much more serious now to contemplate what happens at the equatorial regions of the planet. When you go down into the tropics, it has always been, in a natural Earth, the thinnest ozone areas have been over the tropics. That is why melanin in the skin of people in the equator and north and south of the equator evolved into a much darker skin, because the melanin was helping provide a protection from now all that more intense UV light. Well, now we are in a situation where we have these cyclic huge holes that come in the spring and open up over the Antarctic and the Arctic. And as you heard Dr. Newman say, that thinning ozone circulates all the way down into the mid-latitudes, and we are now living in the United States.
Mid-latitudes.
Yeah, under 8 to 10% less ozone than we had 20 years ago.
And us pale faces are in danger.
Well, but if you go further south, where it's always been thinner, he told me that just a year ago he was in Hawaii on a science meeting and watched with his own eyes as two guys walked out of a hotel. It was clear that they had just gotten into Hawaii. They had on swimsuits, and they were pale white, and one guy had a camera with a strap over his shoulder going down the beach. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Newman said he watched them. They went down about 5 minutes, and they turned around and came back past him. And the guy pulled his camera off of his shoulder to take a picture, and already where it's a white strip where the band had been, and his skin was terrifically red. And Dr. Newman said, I watched with my own eyes. In a few minutes, those guys were getting first-class burned. And that means that you can't take for granted anymore any sun exposure.
I don't. Linda, we have always thought ozone depletion and global warming to be completely disconnected, that one really didn't have anything to do with the other.
And now we know.
Are we so sure now?
No, that's part of this new research. Dr. Schindel, who we will be hearing from in a little while, he is an atmospheric physicist at the NASA Goddard Institute for Space Sciences in New York, connected with Columbia University, and he spends his life studying largely the atmosphere and producing computer models. And with this new ocean data at the warming down to 10,000 feet and the highest warming at 1,000 feet down, that we are now going to have more refined data about the relationship between the air and the oceans. Modelers have always thought that the ocean was key, but in this big picture now, where the pieces are beginning to fall into place better, it is very clear that when you have global warming, this warming at the surface temperature, or at the lower altitude,
mm-hmm.
The computer models always projected that you would get increased coldness in the stratosphere, and it's a complex relationship between the gas molecules as they rise and how they release heat and how they don't release heat. And what we've been seeing, as he has pointed out, in the 90s, have been some of the coldest measured stratospheric temperatures on record. And the 1999 to 2000 winter was one of the very coldest of all. And that is why we had this exacerbation of the ozone deterioration in this gigantic hole over the Arctic. And right now, it looks as if they are now seeing that there is a direct connection between global warming, a very cold stratosphere, and an enlargement, or you could put it the other way, increased deterioration of ozone over the Arctic and the Antarctic. So now we've got a combined system here in which the ozone holes, which they thought would be filled in because of the Montreal Protocol and the fact that industries around the world have been reducing bromines and chlorines, that by 2050 to 2060, that both the North and the South Poles would have been healed, that we would have ozone levels back to where they were before the 70s deterioration set in. But now, if this is going to be an accelerated and increasing global warming situation, it means that it may be longer before the ozone can heal itself, and it may be longer that we will have these enormous holes over on a cyclic basis in the spring, and they will be so little ozone, like the 60% reduction, and down in the Antarctic it gets less, that you then are thinning the ozone protection over the middle latitudes. And none of us should underestimate that if this continues and the next 5 to 10 years, those ozone holes could get worse before they get better.
Now, Linda, I want to ask this. I'm just an average, I'm not a scientist, of course, but the ocean is a gigantic storage area of energy in the form of heat.
That's right.
And I'm trying desperately to understand how the ocean at 10,000 feet or 1,000 feet down, 1,000 feet of ocean could warm a half degree. What the hell could do that?
A lot of warm air temperature that is affecting the water in a much more dynamic system. That's what Sidney Leviteus said. That's the word that the scientists are using in the computer models that they were using just, 10 years ago. They would only put the action, the dynamic temperature change of the oceans only in the very upper surface, because the assumption was that this was such a gigantic body.
But it couldn't heat that far up.
Couldn't heat up. That was exactly the assumption that they made. And so it was always just this static blob in the computers with just surface stuff. Well, now, that's why you hear Sidney Leviteus, who's been working for 26 years in gathering ocean data and working on all kinds of projects. They were astonished at what the data showed. And now they realize that the ocean and the air, that you've got to remember that we've got all this air that keeps warming year by year in the 90s, that there is an interaction with the oceans that is much more dynamic than they ever expected. And now they're going to refine this dance between the warm atmosphere and the oceans. And that means the computer models will become more accurate. And right now they're going to see if they can get a computer model that can literally go back in time 20, 30, 40 years and be
backwards.
Accurate.
That's interesting.
And and then they turn around once they have it going back in history and producing the right temperatures, and they turn it around with the data that is there, and
sure,
they go into the future.
Would you be shocked, Linda, if I told you I've got breaking news from Reuters right now? From Sydney, Australia, towns along Australia's remote northwest coast were told on Wednesday to prepare for one of the most powerful cyclones ever to threaten the country as it approached with winds of up to 260 kilometers an hour, or 161 miles per hour.
Westerlies are getting stronger, and when we come back after the break, you're going to hear from an atmospheric physicist, Dr. Drew Schindel, who was one of the ones who has been working on a computer model that was showing that with global warming and a certain change in the North Atlantic from Arctic ice melt, that the westerlies would get stronger with possibly amazing consequences.
They are.
And we'll hear that.
All right. Australia, look out. Here comes Tropical Cyclone Rosita, 161 miles per hour right now and getting stronger. This is Coast to Coast.
Did you wake up in the morning and ask, was that a dream or was that Art Bell? Well, here's how to keep track of the strange things you hear on this program with Art Bell's After Dark newsletter. For only $39.95, After Dark helps you see in print before your very eyes what you hear about on our show. Amazing articles, color pictures, evidence. Plus, you'll get Art's monthly article where Art gets up close and personal. You don't always hear this stuff on the air or see it on Art's website, www.artbell.com. Subscribe now for the new and improved look of After Dark. Call toll-free 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505. A one-year subscription is only $39.95 for 12 monthly issues. This is not a weird dream. After Dark is very real. Call right now, 1-888-727-5505.
Fabulous. Very chic. Why are we having a fashion show in the middle of the office today? I don't remember being asked about this.
It's not a fashion show.
These women are the most recent graduates from Goodwill Industries that you hired. Remember? These are the graduates from Goodwill?
Yes. Weight Watchers magazine has teamed up with Goodwill Industries to launch the Suited for Success campaign. Instead of just throwing away unwanted clothes, women across the country are donating them to Goodwill and are shopping at Goodwill to help fund job training and job placement programs. It's about women helping women get off of welfare and get into the workforce. My old business suit can help another woman get a job. Oh, that sounds very magnifique. Just call 1-800-664-6577 to find the Goodwill near you. The Suited for Success campaign. 1-800-664-6577. It's the most meaningful fashion statement you'll ever make. Suited for Success is a registered service trademark of Suited for Success Incorporated of New York and is used under license. This program is not available in Florida.
Radio Network News, I'm Jason Walker. Oklahoma City has dedicated a memorial to the 168 people who died in that blast 5 years ago. President Clinton says the families and their great losses will not be forgotten.
May you keep on your armor of light. May you keep your light shining on this place of hope, where memories of the lost and the meaning of America will live forever.
Federal appeals court says Elian Gonzalez must stay in the U.S. until another court decides if he gets an asylum hearing. Ramon Sanchez is the leader of a democracy movement in Miami.
I think this is a first step in the right direction. The appellate court acknowledging to some degree that Elian has civil rights that must be respected. And we feel that it is not, we haven't won the war, but at least it's a first positive step.
John McCain now admits that he should have made his views known during the South Carolina primary, that indeed he favors the removal of the Confederate flag from the state house in that state.
I should have done this earlier, when an honest answer could have affected me personally. I did not do so for one reason alone. I feared that if I answered honestly, I could not win the South Carolina primary.
And this is USA Radio News.
Want to know what your credit report looks like? You can run a credit check on yourself for free by logging onto freecreditreport.com.
I found an inaccuracy that could have cost me an approval and disputed it.
My credit reports from freecreditreport.com showed me an open account I'd forgotten about.
Just call 1-800-220-2626 or log on to www.freecreditreport.com. 1-800-220-2626 or www.freecreditreport.com.
Are your children off to college soon? Where will you get the money? Well, there's billions in financial aid waiting to be claimed, and you'll find it in Prentice Hall's The Scholarship Book. Over 400 pages of information on more than 100,000 scholarships. Find out who has them, what they're worth, and how to get them. Get the inside track to billions in scholarships with The Scholarship Book. A special hardcover edition is just $26.97 plus shipping. Call 800-852-2800 now. That's 800-852-2800.
Canadian authorities charging a 15-year-old known as Mafia Boy with two counts of mischief, that for his part in cyber attacks against major websites earlier this year. Royal Canadian Mounted Police spokesman Jean-Pierre Roy says more arrests are possible in the hacker investigation.
We had to do something to prevent further actions from Mafia Boy. That's why we arrested him last weekend. However, the investigation is still ongoing, and there is literally tons of information to scrutinize, to look at.
A Thursday marks the first anniversary of the Columbine Massacre. Some residents of Littleton, Colorado, say they hope the anniversary ceremonies will help everyone to move on with their lives. Others say they continue to struggle each day. Gunfire at a retirement community near Phoenix, leaving one person dead. Three others have been wounded. Police do have a suspect now in custody. This is USA Radio News.
Isn't it time your windows were replaced? If you're tired of struggling with your old windows, then call Sears Home Central. Sears windows have double-pane glass that may help reduce your energy costs. So call Sears now at 1-800-211-8002 for a free in-home estimate. Not available in all areas. Services and materials provided by a Sears authorized contractor. Name and license number on request. So if you need new windows, call Sears now at 1-800-211-8002.
A former Secretary of State says he's disappointed that presidential candidates today are not talking more about foreign policy. Henry Kissinger also says the Clinton administration, quote, gets started on a lot of projects but doesn't bring them to conclusion. A setback for researchers. Two new studies find that eating a low-fat, high-fiber diet will not lower the risk of colon cancer. However, Dr. Arthur Schatzkin of the National Cancer Institute says additional research may be needed.
Cancer is a long process, and the studies like ours only look at a part of that process, kind of like looking at a 20-second film clip of a mile run.
Dr. Schatzkin also says a low-fat, high-fiber diet is still great for battling obesity and heart disease. On Wall Street Wednesday, the Dow lost 92 points. The NASDAQ was off 87 for the day. Jason Walker with news on the USA Radio Network.
You know, you don't have to be a genius to mentor a child. To prove it, we're giving mentor Steve Older a pop quiz. Ready, Steve?
Ready.
Okay. The subject is algebra. Is that a problem?
Oh, no. Where am I going?
All right, then. Let's begin. If 2x squared equals 98, what is the value of x? Steve?
Yeah, algebra. Can I get a pencil and paper?
Oh, sure. Here you go.
2 multiplied by x.
While Steve figures that out, we'd like to remind you that to mentor a child, you don't have to be some math whiz.
Is it 4?
No. And if Steve here can improve a child's life, you can too.
9?
No. Do good. Call Save the Children toll-free at 1-877-BE-A-MENTOR.
8?
Mm-mm.
7?
You're right.
Yes.
Well, that's some good algebra, Steve.
Right.
And that's 1-877-BE-A-MENTOR.
You already said that.
I know.
A message brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
Or to fly to the sun without burning a wing, to lie in a meadow and hear the grass sing, that all these things in our memories of us, and the youth and the I'm gonna get on, I'm gonna get on, I'm gonna get on, I'm gonna get on.
Take a ride? Call Art Bell from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. The wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. And to call Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nine.
Certainly is. Good morning, everybody. Linda Moulton Howe is here with a series of very, very important environmental stories. And again, look out, Australia. It's breaking now on Reuters. One of the most powerful cyclones ever to threaten Australia approaches now with winds of 260 kilometers per hour. It's Tropical Cyclone Rosita. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Good luck, Australia. It is expected to hit land near Broome. That's 1,700 kilometers north of Western Australia's state capital, Perth, at about midnight, or 1600 Greenwich. So whatever it is in the ocean, the heat we're talking about, you can see the effects above ground, and I think this is one of them.
A Chinese philosopher once said, do not use a hatchet to remove a fly from a friend's forehead. Interesting quote, but not the most interesting quote you'll hear today. Not if you call GEICO Direct for a quote on your car insurance. Got 15 minutes? Call GEICO at 1-800-947-AUTO. That's 1-800-947-AUTO. You could cut your car insurance rate by 15% or more without wielding a hatchet. GEICO Direct, the sensible alternative.
Would you like to look and feel 10 years younger in 10 weeks? Now there's proof that aging can be slowed down, even reversed, with HGH, human growth hormone. You've heard me talk several times about the incredible age-reversing benefits of HGH. According to thousands of studies, HGH levels can help you look and feel younger. That's why I take Ultimate HGH, a natural formula to help boost your body's own production of HGH, designed from the research in the book 10 Weeks to a Younger You by Dr. Klatz. If your goal is to help improve energy, stamina, lose unwanted fat, diminish wrinkles, enhance memory, immune function, and vision, then Ultimate HGH is for you too. And when you order two bottles of Ultimate HGH, you get a third absolutely free. Only about $33 a month. It's a tremendous savings off the typical $100 a month for comparable products. Plus, you'll receive the amazing book, 10 Weeks to a Younger You by Dr. Klatz, a $20 value, free. So call now, 1-800-557-4627. That's 1-800-557-4627. 1-800-557-4627. Making too many trips to the bathroom? If so, you're not alone. Millions of men are suffering from enlarged prostate symptoms such as frequent trips to the bathroom and diminished libido. I'd like to tell you about Dr. Teplitsky's Super Prostate Formula for enlarged prostate. Dr. Teplitsky is one of my favorite medical doctors who developed the formula for his own patients and has used it in his practice for years. I've got to tell you, the results have been astounding. It contains just about every known natural ingredient that's been clinically proven to reduce the size of the prostate and help relieve those uncomfortable symptoms. Super Prostate Formula can definitely help those men suffering enlarged prostates. Therefore, I want you to take advantage of the doctor's special offer. When you order two bottles of Super Prostate Formula, you'll get a third free, a three-month supply for the price of two plus. You'll also get the audio cassette, Complete Guide to Prostate Health by Dr. Teplitsky, a $20 value, absolutely free. So, Call now. 1-800-472-5151. That's 1-800-472-5151. 1-800-472-5151. Back now to Linda Moulton Howe in Philadelphia, where it's getting late. Linda, hi.
Hi, Art. When I was talking with Dr. Schindel, who is an associate research scientist at NASA Goddard Institute for Space Studies in New York, associated with Columbia University, I was talking with him about exactly the question that you asked before the break. What is the relationship between the cold stratosphere, the warm lower altitudes, the dance that happens there, the ozone layers getting larger, and what the implications are for increased coldness in the stratosphere in all of the computer models that they're trying to work with at GIST to project into the future. And now I would like you to hear an excerpt from that interview of a surprising part of the research that he's doing in relationship to this very cold, cold stratosphere and what else they have discovered. This is Dr. Schindel.
As we see a trend towards colder and colder stratospheres, we expect, and we seem to be seeing over the past two decades or so, a trend towards increasing westerly winds near the surface in the wintertime. And what effect this has is it actually leads to, during the winter, warmer temperatures over the continent, because the oceans are relatively warm compared to the land. Mm-hmm. And as we get increasing westerly winds, you get warm air from the Pacific blowing over North America and warm air from the Atlantic blowing over Eurasia. So we actually expect a continued trend towards warmer and warmer temperatures over the continent during the wintertime. And that's actually been kind of what we've been seeing. So during the 1990s, we've seen, you know, there's still a lot of variability. Occasionally we'll get a lot of snow. But typically, winters have been very, very warm. Mm-hmm. And for the lower 48 states in the U.S., we've had three of the warmest winters on record, including the warmest winter on record, during the 1990s. So it looks like we could expect, as the stratosphere continues to cool from global warming, more and more of this, and we'll have more and more years with less snow and warmer temperatures during the winter.
Is there any hypothesis that eventually, with this disparity in temperature between the stratosphere and the lower latitudes that are warmer, that it could actually kick in to gear some kind of an effort to balance out the stratosphere and the lower, causing some huge abrupt change in global weather?
Well, I'm not sure that the atmosphere would respond in that way, or that anybody really thinks that that's very likely. The lower atmosphere and the upper atmosphere tend to stay fairly separate in many ways. Because air moves around quite freely in the lower atmosphere and in the stratosphere, things are very segregated. That's the name stratosphere refers to how stratified the layers are, and there's very little mixing in the vertical direction. But one thing that's quite interesting is with this increase in westerly winds at the surface, you tend to bring colder air coming off of North America into the North Atlantic, and you tend to speed up the strength of the ocean gyre in the Arctic Ocean. So this is a circumpolar circulation that flows around the Arctic Ocean counterclockwise and is driven by the westerly wind. So if you speed up the westerly winds, the circulation increases, and what this does is it tends to increase the flow of Arctic ice out in between Greenland and Scandinavia, which is really the only big outlet out of the Arctic Ocean. And this tends to bring fresh water into the North Atlantic. This is also something that's been very striking in observations over the past several decades, is from submarine measurements from the 50s and more recently in the 90s, if we compare those two, it looks like we've lost about 40% of the Arctic ice. So a huge change in the amount of ice that's still present in the Arctic Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
But as this comes out into the North Atlantic, it can change ocean circulation. And the ocean circulation has a really profound effect on climate. All you have to do is look at something like the difference between the climate in New York City and the climate in southern Italy, which is about the same latitude. And Europe is much, much warmer because ocean circulation brings up a lot of heat to the northern latitudes. And the same thing if you look at the western coast of the United States. New York is about the same latitude as the Oregon-California border, which certainly doesn't get nearly the cold weather that New York does. And this is, again, it's related to the ocean circulation.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can shut off the ocean circulation in, to some extent by bringing out a lot of fresh ice, freshwater ice from the Arctic, we could have a profound effect on climate. And without the ocean circulation, again, if you just look at things at the same latitude, you know, Moscow is about the same latitude as Scotland, and Moscow certainly has much more severe winters. So if we shut off this ocean that's warming Western Europe, we expect that that could plunge into a really, really cold, cold time, and the same type of thing could happen in the western part of North America.
Bingo.
With Seattle suddenly starting to look like other cities at the same latitude.
Like Buffalo.
Right. And even quite a bit farther north than Buffalo. So it could get really cold if something like that were to happen. Again, it's a little bit counterintuitive when we think of global warming as making everything warmer. But the ocean circulation just has such enormous power that if we change that to some extent, we can throw everything off. And while the whole planet may be getting warmer by half a degree, if suddenly the ocean circulation changes temperatures by 20 degrees, then global warming becomes actually a small worry.
Hmm.
These type of things, these big circulation changes, could just have a huge impact.
Yeah, because if Europe and the Western United States suddenly got very cold within a few years, it would affect growing seasons and the economy and everything very rapidly.
Sure, sure. And there's no way, you know, a forest that drops a pine cone and it rolls down the side of a hill, you know, that's how much it can migrate from generation to generation. Or perhaps a squirrel can pick it up and carry it a little ways. But while people can move to adjust to climate change, things like a forest, you know, it takes centuries for a forest to move a matter of tens of miles. So there's no way that the ecosystem could cope with such a really dramatic response like that.
And in the ice core research, there have been indications that there have been rapid climate changes, perhaps as quickly as a decade in the past. And if something happened in which there was an acceleration of this Arctic melt and the Greenland, remember that Sidney Leavitt was saying that now they're concerned that the Greenland ice mass is actually less stable than they thought. And if you suddenly had a increasing amount of freshwater ice going into the North Atlantic, it is possible that that North Atlantic drift, that gigantic circulation that brings warm water up into the European area, could change. It has in the past, and no one has understood the mechanisms precisely. And all of this is to say that the pieces are coming together from many different disciplines of science that are now adding up that we are in a global warming picture, and that it is getting to a point that it doesn't really matter whether it is human or whether it is nature or a combination.
Right.
We're in a global warming trend with consequences that the computers themselves are beginning to show are going to become more extreme in some areas. We're going to have droughts. We're going to have floods. We're going to have extreme temperature changes. And it may affect growing seasons positively, or it may affect growing seasons negatively. It is
probably
certainly going to affect the coastlines of the world.
Linda, you know, listening to that report, I was sitting here going, "Phew," because, as you know, Whitley Strieber and myself wrote The Coming Global Superstorm, and
right.
It talked about, as you well know, the possibility that the drift, the North Atlantic drift, would be affected by, for example, the Arctic ice melt. And
right.
That if this drift were to significantly change, as the scientists you just had on the air suggested, it could have exactly the consequences that we pointed out in the book, and it could be fairly rapid, as he also said. And he said, well, it's a bit counterintuitive in that you've got a global warming, but it could suddenly produce the exact opposite effect, which is what we talked about in the book.
Yep.
And we got so many harumphs from Matt Lauer on NBC when we were there saying, well, scientists say there's not enough energy, that there's no way that could happen. Well, there is.
In terms of a global storm, a global superstorm, there may not be energy to produce that, but I think that your point and Dr. Schindel's point is correct, that if we ended up causing an effect to change the North Atlantic drift and it plunged Western Europe
yep.
into the kind of cold that happens in Moscow and Siberia in the winters, that effect would be terrible on growing season and a lot of other things that Europe has always been blessed, at least in the last several centuries, with this beautiful warmth.
Well, granted that our book was fiction, you know, enhanced fiction based on
fact.
What we consider to be solid science, but even in the book, Linda, it began in Western Europe.
Yeah, which is where probably the, if there were signs that winters started plummeting and they started getting measurements out of the North Atlantic of a change, that's probably where we would see it first. But right now, the strongest evidence of anything is simply the fact that they know they have this accelerated melt, that a lot of fresh water from the Arctic has gone into the North Atlantic, and that has been measurable. It's hard data. But the North Atlantic drift, that big cycle that churns up warm water to Europe, is still functioning fine. But what we're talking about is that new data is coming in all of the time, and that the data is showing us that we are in a moving picture, and nothing is locking down. It keeps changing, and that one change in one area, for example, the heating up of the ocean, can cause, let's say, an extension of global warming 50 or 60 years down the road. If all things, we will say that we were able to get a handle on greenhouse gases finally as a world, well, the ocean will retain heat much longer. And so you get to a point where the computer models now don't know how to deal with that, that if the oceans kept warming, you then have an ocean sink of heat that would continue to contribute even after we've gotten a handle on greenhouse gases. And it may or may not have positive consequences in parts of the world, global warming, or the pendulum could swing and it becomes, ironically, colder in some areas and drought in some areas. And this is the part, you know, you've heard scientists say, we are living in an experiment. We don't know the consequences of what is going to happen beyond the fact that the computers right now show that we are going to have more extremes probably in weather systems. And even then, you have a lot of argument about whether or not there will be more energy in hurricanes or less.
Well, Linda, when you have an experiment in a lab and you have a petri dish full of all kinds of little microscopic crawly things, and you drop the wrong thing into the petri dish, a lot of times all the little microscopic crawly things die.
And we don't want that to happen, which is why all of these scientists, they boil their work down to that they are all submitting papers now that are going to an international consortium that is putting together now on a 4 to 5 year cycle a book having to do with global weather change and climate change. The third one will come out next year. And what I'm beginning to hear for the first time is that political entities are now urging, almost demanding, that the scientists get data to them. Because we are coming to points where insurance companies could pull back on insurance in areas where there are constantly tornadoes and hurricanes and floods and they can't support it anymore.
All right, Linda, we've got a break here at the bottom of the hour. Listen, I want to broach a couple of other unrelated topics with you very, very quickly when we come back and then go to the phones. Is that all right?
Absolutely.
All right. Linda Moulton Howe, my guest. This is Coast to Coast AM, raging through the nighttime like a freight train. I'm Art Bell.
The hair is hollow gold, the lips sweet pride. The hands are never cold. You've got better days aside, the kind of music on you. You won't have to think twice.
Hey everybody, Jamie Lee Curtis here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. I have a question and a suggestion. What should you do to stop a friend from driving if they've been drinking? Answer, whatever it takes. The suggestion? Designate before you celebrate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
Imagine what it feels like to be a hero every day. You make a difference in the Coast Guard.
Join the Coast Guard or Coast Guard Reserve. Save lives, stop drugs, protect the environment. Call toll-free 1-877-NOW-USCG. Call toll-free 1-877-NOW-USCG. The Coast Guard. Jobs that matter.
Okay, let me get this straight. I buy I-bonds, say, $1 million worth.
You can buy up to $30,000 a year.
Yeah, right. So I buy I-bonds, and my money will always earn a rate higher than inflation?
That's right.
For 1,000 years.
For 30 years. It's guaranteed to stay ahead of inflation for 30 years.
And it's safe, backed by the U.S. Treasury.
That's correct.
World comes to an end, no problem, still safe.
I'm not even going to answer
that. So getting back to the inflation thing. Inflation goes up to, say, 10%. I'm covered?
You're covered. Your investment will continue to earn a rate over and above inflation for up to 30 years.
20%?
You're covered.
3,000%.
Oh, come on.
Hey, I'm joking. So tell me, where can I get these things and I'm out of here?
Gladly. You can purchase I-bonds where you work, bank, or through the new U.S. Savings Bonds Easy Saver Plan. To learn all about I-bonds, go to www.savingsbonds.gov.
www.savingsbonds.gov. Huh, pretty catchy, huh?
Goodbye.
But I'm not even finished.
Goodbye.
A public service announcement by the Department of Treasury and the station.
Here are the books you asked for. Can I suggest anything else?
No, thanks. I hope these will help. Martha, how's your search going? Have you found any new ideas for the Junior Scouts project? I don't want to end up doing the same project we've done for the past 5 years.
Not to worry, Evelyn. Listen to this. The kids can learn geography and practice arts and crafts by making maps of the United States out of doilies.
That's the stupidest idea I've ever heard in my whole life.
Oh, like you have a better one.
Oh, where'd you get that idea anyway? Out of the stupid projects for stupid heads, Bush?
Wait, please.
When adults run out of ideas for helping children, they can feel as frustrated as kids. So where can grown-ups go for more ideas? ConnectForKids.org on the web. Get connected to thousands of resources for helping kids in your community.
I'm Lever, you're glue. Is there a problem?
She started it.
ConnectForKids.org, guidance for grown-ups.
A public service message brought to you by the Benton Foundation, the Ad Council, and this station.
No one taught tolerance in the classroom when I went to school. We learned it on the playground.
Sally Ride, professor, astronaut, former child.
Young kids today are fundamentally just the same as they've always been. They're curious, they're explorers, they're interested in things, they like to learn. We didn't have lessons on cooperation or talk about personal space. We were too busy dreaming about outer space. Childhood should be a time to grow, to discover, and imagine in such a way that all things are possible. That's how it should be. Child first, then the adult. You want your kids to be healthy, happy adults? Let them be children first.
Don't underestimate the power of play.
Still haven't grown up.
A message from the American Toy Institute.
Extrication is a large part of our work. Accidents occur constantly.
This firefighter has discovered that a car can become a coffin.
People don't always follow basic traffic and safety rules as far as using their seatbelts and so on.
This is Passages, where people offer their stories. I'm Dennis Benson, and today John shares the importance of patience in his work.
With drunk driving situations and so on, you find yourself prying somebody who's very seriously hurt out of cars, and that's something that takes some experience. You get to know quite a bit about how cars are made and which cars you can cut up which way, and you get to see a lot of people that have been very seriously hurt and have been crushed in a lot of car accidents. That's where your training, I think, and your experience comes in, where you learn to slow down and be patient and careful and not rush yourself into doing something that may actually wind up being more hazardous.
John's commitment is a challenge from your Presbyterian and United Methodist friends.
West of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach out at area code 775-727-1222 or call the wildcard line at 775-727-1295. To talk with Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Certainly is. Good morning, everybody. Linda Moulton Howe is here, and we are discussing environmental issues and, frankly, a little more coming up. So we'll kind of touch on all sorts of areas, and if you have questions for Linda, now would be a good time. We'll get to that in just a moment. Can you reach me? I'm Art Bell at Mindspring.com. That's Art Bell, A-R-T-B-E-L-L, at Mindspring.com. I'm there because it's a better place to be. That's all there is to it. It's a better place to be. It's a better provider. They'll give you faster connections. They'll give you more reliable connections. They'll give you friendly people to deal with should something go wrong. Not very likely with Mindspring, but if it should, they're there for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And, of course, the ever-loving Spaminator that keeps all that junk, 99.9% of all that junk, out of your email mailbox. X-rated solicitations, all of that sort of thing. Cut down by that amount, 99.9% at least. Every now and then one may sneak through, but I'll tell you. It's like living in a whole different world when you open your mailbox
and just about all the mail in there is for you. Actually, mail for you. It's great. Now, the deal is simple. You use my name, wield my name, Art Bell, call them, buy 1 month of service, and they will give you 2 more months of service free of charge. How's that? The number to call is 1-888-677-7464, and remember, you can call 24 hours a day, because they're up now. Always there for you. 1-888-677-7464. You surely have nothing to lose.
The difference.
For over 60 years, Schiff has made the difference between an ordinary vitamin and a premium vitamin.
Schiff makes the difference.
By using natural vitamins whenever natural is more effective. By setting amounts for optimal health, not the minimum daily requirement. And with formulas that provide faster and better absorption.
The difference.
By providing premium vitamin supplements worth more because they offer more. Schiff
makes the difference.
Making a difference in vitamins, making a difference in you. Schiff.
By the way, we've got volcanoes going everywhere. Mount Etna went on Sunday, exploded on Sunday, spewing ash and lava into the Mediterranean sky from craters on its southeastern slopes. It looks like our Mexican Popo has gone. Popo exploded Monday, sending a plume of ash 6,560 feet over the skies there. Fresh eruptions at Mount Usu, Japan's Mount Usu volcano in southwestern Hokkaido, exploded once again Monday, spewing black smoke and forcing officials to close key roads and to stop evacuated residents visiting their homes. And one down in Ecuador to top it off. Actually, two Ecuadorian volcanoes have exploded. That occurred Sunday, forcing officials to issue alerts for communities near the bases of both mountains. That's a lot of volcanic action at once, Linda.
Yes, it is. And that ring of fire, you never know, because if something moves and you've got all of that ring of fire connected, it can set off all this stuff.
Well, I'll tell you. Linda, a couple of other things. The Pentagon came out, I don't know whether you know it or not, yesterday, on the heels of the release of Russian photographs of Area 51.
Right.
You know about that?
Yes, I saw the photos in the newspaper.
And the newspapers inevitably ran a story that said swimming pools, buildings, runways, but no little green men. And that really, really grabbed me. I mean, did they really expect to see, like, maybe a whole marching band of little green guys going down the front of, or the middle of one of those runways at Area 51?
No, it's the predictable sarcasm that is in the general media about a subject that they know nothing about, have not done any research about, and until something dramatic does happen, they won't pay attention to, which doesn't mean that it isn't extremely important. And I personally thought that one of the most interesting sentences in the article here in the Philadelphia Inquirer was that the only thing visible in the photograph in terms of transportation were buses. And that says to me, and there were no roads,
right,
that everything of consequence is underground, of course.
Well, of course. Of course, so it's like case closed, another yeah. Roswell case closed. Look, we've got the photographs, no little green guys. Ha, ha, ha. Isn't that so silly? And then the Pentagon, actually, yesterday, denied that they were working with alien beings on technology. Now, is it not slightly amazing the Pentagon would feel a need to come out and actually say that?
Thou protest too much, I would say, based on people I have talked with. The whole non-human subject is so difficult and so complex, and if you took the word of just half a dozen of the military people who have spoken, one of them who spoke in most detail was Lieutenant Colonel Philip J. Corso, but there have been others besides him, some off the record, about the knowledge of not only technology that is not ours, but I've talked with people who have said that they have worked in underground laboratories where there were non-humans, And these people don't have any reason to be making up these stories because they never go on the record and they die. And a person like me, a reporter, is left with transcripts or notes taken from what people have told me, but it never they never allowed it to be used. So what would be the motive for them to make it up?
I don't have the slightest idea. I look at a statement made by the Pentagon that they're not working with aliens, and I wonder, why'd you guys say that?
Yes, because on the other side of that is guilt about denying the world from knowing that they are.
There you are. Well, let's see what's out there. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Linda Moulton Howe in Philadelphia. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Jim from Ontario, Canada.
Yes, sir.
Hi, I have a question for Linda.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, I would like to know a little bit about your own frustrations and basically the public, you know, lethargy. And, well, I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, well, I think my own personal frustration is that I am an investigative reporter and a TV producer, and I've been working in science, medicine, and the environment since I did documentaries at Stanford University at the Stanford Linear Accelerator and with the medical school, and I produced a whole series of medical programs with Tim Johnson, who is ABC's medical editor. And I did environmental programming at the CBS station in Denver, the ABC station in Boston, the NBC station in Los Angeles. And I've always worked on hard, factual-based subjects and content. And when I naively thought I could get to the bottom of the unusual animal phenomena that is known as animal mutilations, I had no idea that I would be crossing through that Alice in Wonderland mirror into the world of intelligence and spies and counterintelligence. And what my frustration is that we have at least half a century now of a policy of silence and denial in place through an executive order by Harry S. Truman, and probably for very good reason, about a subject as important as interaction with a non-human intelligence on this planet that has access to pastures, farms, apparently houses, bedrooms, cars, and from everything that I know from talking with people off the record as well as an on-the-record conversation with Colonel Corso and a few others, that we have some kind of a relationship with a non-human intelligence in terms of the development of technology and weapons and a whole lot of things. And I'm a journalist who my work that is factual has, in a way, it has run into a wall of a subject that is politically off of the radar of the entire planet, as serious as it is, and that I begin to wonder if in my lifetime this story will open up, and that if it doesn't, what is on the other side of persisting with a policy of silence and denial about a subject as important as the fact that we're not alone in this universe?
How's that for frustration, caller?
Oh, well, that's obviously a very good answer.
And another little piece is I could not believe, as a professional journalist working at Paramount and Fox in 1991 on the hour special called UFO Report Sightings, and was very involved with what was happening in England and around the world with crop circles, because part of what I was producing for that special had to do with the crop circle mystery. And it was in the summer of 1991 that Newsweek and Time and the New York Times 2020, I mean, it was major media story about the crop formation mystery going worldwide. And people were keeping lists of approximately 23 countries that had these very complex pictograms, and that included watery rice paddies in Japan that sustained the same kinds of formations, complex formations, that remained as a symbol inside of wet rice paddies. And that's how broad the scope was in 1991 in the summer from Australia all around the world. How could the New York Times and the Washington Post, that I usually hold with great respect, run a story the day after those two men, Doug and Dave, were trotted out by that tabloid television reporter, and they said, I've heard that tape, I've heard actually more than was on television, that they said that they had made circles and in what they called insectograms in two counties in southern England. They could not have been responsible for 23 countries in from April until August of 1991. And yet, when their statement was put on television in England, it was September 9th, 1991. And the next day, around the world, were headlines, "The crop mystery has been solved."
Yeah.
I could not believe that. I thought, how was this engineered? Because these august media, like New York Times and the Washington Post, you would have expected that they would have at least gone to sources that were doing research, like Dr. Levengood. It was very clear he was doing research then, and to others, and their own newspaper stories would have showed that the formations complex were taking place around the world, and that the statement by those two men in southern England was an impossible explanation. That is part of a mystery to me as a journalist looking at other journalists. I do not understand how some of these phenomena are kept so bottled up and away, deliberately almost, out of, by the media themselves, not following up on stories that are not war, sex, politics, and money.
And I guess, Linda, I understand it. You know, I've watched the media do this stuff now for so many years, personal experience, close up, that I know how they do what they do and why they do what they do. And a lot of it is not exactly intentional. A lot of it is a herd journalism kind of thing that that says, if you're the Washington Post or you're the New York Times or the LA Times or the Chicago Sun-Times, you have a responsibility to scoff at certain things.
Which is not in being an investigative reporter.
Well, I didn't say it was. I just said it.
Yeah.
You have that responsibility. All right, wild card line, you're on the air with Linda Moulton Howe. Hello.
Yes, hi, Art. Hi, Linda. Hi, this is Bill from West Hartford, Connecticut.
Hi, Bill.
Yeah. Hello.
Hi, Linda. I'm going to combine the two areas of things you discussed, mainly the environment, the weather, not to mention volcanoes and earthquakes, with the other one, ETI, extraterrestrial intelligence, as a possible solution. Let me explain. As Dr. Michio Kaku would say, who's been on Art Bell many times and will be on next week, the one way that we could possibly solve the problems of the environment is if somehow quickly we could become a type 1 civilization. A type 1 is one that can control the energy of our planet. Not
right.
To mention the weather in detail too, but not only that, but the volcanoes and earthquakes and the whole ball of wax. Now, naturally, normally, for us to become a type 1 civilization from a type 0, which we are now, using fossil fuels, et cetera, Dr. Kaka would say would take at least 50 to 100, maybe 200 years to accomplish. If we waited that long, we're cooked, because the environment's probably 200 years from now, or even 100 years from now, maybe the great global superstorm that Art Bell has talked about, even sooner. Now, my hypothesis of how we could become a type 1 civilization sooner involves Cydonia and the face on Mars. And my point is, you can comment in a second on my question, is if, as Daniel Golden has said recently, we could get to the planet Mars maybe as soon as 10 years, by 2010, and my hypothesis is, in addition to being the face and the things around it, maybe in fact scientific records, scientific information that would propel our world 1,000 years or more ahead scientifically. If indeed that's maybe true, there is something there scientifically in some form, scientific knowledge of some kind, it wouldn't be in English, but something that we could decipher mathematically, that, like I said, could propel us 1,000 years or more scientifically ahead to a type 1 civilization, say in 10 to 15 years, 20 years, as soon as we decipher all of it. Why don't we go to the planet Mars, assuming that the hypothesis is true, in 10 years, and get all that scientific data, bring it back to Earth, and become a type 1 civilization within, say, 10, 15 years.
Well, that's an interesting hypothesis, caller. You know, Linda, it is interesting that Dan Golden, sort of out of nowhere, when we'd been backing away from Mars, when our missions have been failing and our robots have been dying, suddenly comes out and suggests that within 10 years, we're going to send men to Mars. I thought that was an amazing statement.
Well, I've often thought that he probably has a very close connection with some of the alphabet soup, and that whatever NASA does is not always transparent, and that there may be a whole other agendas going on. But to this caller, I don't think that there's any reason to think that there's going to be magical answers on Mars. I think that we probably have a tremendous amount of advanced technology right here on this Earth, underground, all over the place, and that there's been some kind of a political decision made that we have to somehow keep the oil industry and the economy going while we keep at bay until the last drop is used up and that dollar is absorbed.
That 40 to 45 years of oil.
Neutralizing gravity or other propulsion system, and they may have them now sort of stacked up like dominoes, that when the fossil fuels get to a certain point and the oil companies have gotten most of the cash, then they will bring out what will seem like the most next logical energy advancement. But I think that they already have the ability for neutralizing gravity or whatever phrase you want.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. All right, maybe time for one more here at the top of the hour. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Linda Moulton Howe and Art Bell. Good morning.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
Linda.
Hello.
Hi, this is Jim from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Hello.
Hi, Linda?
Yes.
Hi, this is Jim from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yes, sir.
And it's just good to hear you and Art. And
Art, I just can't believe we're not going to be doing this again.
I know. There's a last time for everything, I guess, Linda.
Yeah, I'm going to miss the dance with you.
I will as well. Caller, do you have a specific question?
Yes, I do. You were talking earlier in the program about CFCs, causing the depletion of the ozone.
Yes,
and,
sir.
You know, I was just realizing that, you know, chlorine and bromine are both compounds of seawater, and that with the oceans warming, there might be more bromine and chlorine released from the seawater. And also, too, CFCs is a component released when volcanic action takes place. You think maybe the CFCs with the, freon and stuff might be a cover story or what?
I think it's a very well understood chemistry cycle between dry cleaners and the tailpipes of cars and what is emitted and how they rise into the atmosphere and that whole chemistry process with ozone and the depletion, especially from the specific chemicals that have come from industry, is very well established as being what has started destroying the ozone layer in the 1970s, and that's what led to the Montreal Protocol. Your question about chemical releases from the ocean,
yes,
is a provocative one. I will do some research with some of the scientists that I talk with and see if there is any possibility that there could be from the vast oceans of the Earth anything specifically being contributed to the atmosphere.
Could it suddenly burp, in effect burp?
And I don't really have any kind of a substantive answer on what the water might or might not be able to contribute. So I'll try to find out.
All right.
Report it on a Greenland or another coast with Mike Siegel or something.
Well, you have properly pointed out, Linda, that this is our last time together. And I have, of course, one last hour.
And you are welcome to it or to bed as you wish. I always give my guests...
Oh, I would definitely like to stay up with you to the very end tonight.
All right. Linda, stay right where you are. And for those that leave at this hour, Linda, you need to know what a very important pleasure it has been for me to work with somebody who's come up consistently with such good, hard science for this program over so many years. Thank you. All right, stay right there. We're going to break here at the top of the hour and come back in many markets with Lynn Moulton Howe and another hour of your questions. So if you have anything you would like to ask, she's here. She's the one who would know. I'm Art Bell, and from the high desert, this is Coast to Coast AM.
Sometimes Art Bell gives his long-haul trucker fans the honor of closing out his show.
All right, let me hear your horn.
One time.
Holy mackerel. All right, thank you.
Well, good night, America. From one trucker to the rest of you, keep on trucking.
All night long with Art Bell and Coast to Coast AM.
That was excellent.
Every day, young lives are lost to drugs and violence. I'm Wade Boggs for the Civil Air Patrol, where every day young people take their place in skilled search and rescue teams, saving lives. Facing real-life challenges, they learn discipline, self-respect, and responsibility. Thousands get the chance to soar thanks to the Civil Air Patrol.
Call 1-800-FLY-2338 for more information on Civil Air Patrol, the U.S. Air Force Auxiliary.
There's one polluted body of water you should be aware of. It's a body of water rich in minerals, yet it's not an ocean or river. It contains life, but it's not a brook, pond, or lake. And though you won't find this body of water on a map, it's clearly recognizable. In fact, you live in it. This body of water is your own body, 70% of which is water. When you pollute our natural resources, you may wind up polluting yourself. Want to know more? Call 1-800-504-8484. Learn how improper use and disposal of household products like paint, chemical cleaners, pesticides, and motor oil can damage our waters. Also, find out what is being done to make our waters cleaner and safer for everyone, and what positive steps you can take to help. Call 1-800-504-8484. After all, you are what you drink. Clean water. If we all do a little, we can do a lot. Brought to you by the Natural Resources Defense Council, the Ad Council, and the EPA.
USA Radio Network News, I'm Jason Walker. It didn't take long for an about-face from the Pentagon. Secretary of Defense William Cohen rejecting a plan that would have made some of the lowest-paid soldiers ineligible for food stamps. That proposal drew a storm of protests from servicemen and women. President Clinton addressing the dedication ceremonies yesterday of the Oklahoma City bombing memorial.
There are places in our national landscape so scarred by freedom sacrifice that they shape forever the soul of America. Valley Forge, Gettysburg, Selma. This place is such sacred ground.
A federal appeals court says Elian Gonzalez must stay in the United States until a decision is made on whether he should get an asylum hearing. That ruling setting off wild celebrations in Miami's Little Havana. The boy's great uncle, Lazaro Gonzalez, says the family still believes it will be able to keep the child here in America.
La familia de los González,
the González family,
seguimos creyendo en las leyes de los Estados Unidos,
continues to believe in the laws of the United States,
y seguiremos rezando,
and we will continue to pray,
para que todo esto sea realidad para Elian,
so that all of this may come true for Elian.
And Attorney General Janet Reno says the Justice Department will decide what to do after reviewing all options. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm David Orrick, and I want you to take the Orrick Challenge. I'll send you my 8-pound Orrick XL hotel vacuum to use for 15 days, and I'll send you an extra bag. Now I want to take the Orrick Challenge.
A tornado has roared through the southeastern Kansas community of Parsons.
We've had several buildings have been damaged, including the Judicial Center and the Parsons Police Department. We have reports of 10 homes that have collapsed, several homes that are damaged, power lines were down, gas has been leaking.
LeMaitre County Public Information Officer Keith Stammer, who adds several minor injuries, have been reported. And parts of Nebraska and South Dakota yesterday, well, it looked like winter. Heavy, wet snow forcing many schools and businesses to close down. Several roads and interstates also shut down for a while. Leading forecasters say the recent surge in destructive hurricanes likely to continue in 2000. The National Hurricane Conference meeting in New Orleans this week. They are now predicting at least 11 tropical storms later this year. Forecasters say as many as 7 of those storms could become full-fledged hurricanes. This is USA Radio News.
If you wear contact lenses and want factory fresh contacts delivered right to your front door or place of business, call 1-800-800-LENS. AccuView, Sequence 2, and other disposables, just $21 a box plus $6.50 per order for shipping. There's no hidden costs or membership fees. For planned replacement, gas permeable, toric, daily wear, extended wear, or fashion fits, call 1-800-800-LENS. That's 1-800-800-5367.
A Vermont Senate approving a bill that would give gays the right to take part in civil unions. Human Rights Campaign spokesman Wayne Besson predicts more states will follow Vermont's lead.
This is not an aberration. We've already seen it with corporations across America who are offering domestic partnership benefits. This is the beginning of a new age where our relationships receive the respect and legal recognition they deserve. We're going to see a lot more of this in the future.
Search teams have now recovered the flight data recorder from that Air Philippines jet that crashed Wednesday. All 131 people on board were killed. Gunfire at a community or retirement community meeting in a Phoenix suburb, leaving one person dead and 3 wounded. A suspect has been arrested. And authorities in Alexandria, Virginia, searching for a man who stabbed an 8-year-old to death and wounded his great-grandmother and another woman. Police now say it appears to be nothing more than a random attack. Jason Walker with news on the USA Radio Network.
Okay, let me get this straight. I buy I-bonds, say, $1 million worth.
You can buy up to $30,000 a year.
Yeah, right. So I buy I-bonds, and my money will always earn a rate higher than inflation?
That's right.
For 1,000 years?
For 30 years. It's guaranteed to stay ahead of inflation for 30 years.
And it's safe, backed by the U.S. Treasury?
That's correct.
World comes to an end, no problem, still safe.
I'm not even going to answer
right.
that.
So getting back to the inflation thing, inflation goes up to, say, 10%, I'm covered?
You're covered. Your investment will continue to earn a rate over and above inflation for up to 30 years.
20%?
You're covered.
3,000%.
No, come on.
Hey, I'm joking. So tell me, where can I get these things and I'm out of here?
Gladly. You can purchase I-bonds where you work, bank, or through the new U.S. Savings Bonds Easy Saver Plan. To learn all about I-bonds, go to www.savingsbonds.gov.
www.savingsbonds.gov. Huh, pretty catchy, huh?
Goodbye.
But I'm not even finished.
Goodbye.
A public service announcement by the Department of Treasury and the station.
From west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. The wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. And to reach out on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Network.
Silver threads and gold needles. Good morning, everybody. Lynn Bolton Howe is here answering your questions in a final hour, probably the final hour that Linda and I will spend together. Kind of sad in a way, but glad to have her here tonight, that's for sure. So more of your questions and Linda Moulton Howe in a moment. Would you like to look and feel 10 years younger in 10 weeks? Now there's proof that aging can be slowed down, even reversed, with HGH, human growth hormone. You've heard me talk several times about the incredible age-reversing benefits of HGH. According to thousands of studies, HGH levels can help you look and feel younger. That's why I take Ultimate HGH, a natural formula to help boost your body's own production of HGH, designed from the research in the book 10 Weeks to a Younger You by Dr. Klatz. If your goal is to help improve energy, stamina, lose unwanted fat, diminish wrinkles, enhance memory, immune function, and vision, then Ultimate HGH is for you too. And when you order two bottles of Ultimate HGH, you get a third absolutely free, only about $33 a month. It's a tremendous savings off the typical $100 a month for comparable products. Plus, you'll receive the amazing book, 10 Weeks to a Younger You by Dr. Klatz. A $20 value, free. So call now, 1-800-557-4627. That's 1-800-557-4627. 1-800-557-4627.
Goodyear. Goodyear has a deal you can take to the bank. Hurry in for the Goodyear Spring Tire Sale now through May 6th and get a $150 U.S. savings bond when you buy a set of four selected Goodyear tires. Plus, get big savings on Goodyear's most popular passenger, performance, and light truck tires. Hurry, the sale ends May 6th. Stop by a Goodyear or Gemini location for complete details or call 1-800-GOODYEAR for a retailer near you.
Associated Press story you're going to love. Los Angeles, California officials want to make a splash by taking recycling to the next step, turning toilet water into drinking water. Officials insist their toilet-to-tap program, that's what they're calling it here, a toilet-to-tap program, is feasible, safe, and in fact a solution to California's water shortage problem. Are you listening, Californians? A few residents think the idea is revolting. The three-year pilot program could begin as early as today in the San Fernando Valley, although the reclaimed water won't actually reach faucets for 5 years. So in other words, you will have aged reclaimed toilet to tap water. What do you think, Linda?
Oh, my. What is behind all of this, it seems to me, is...
Maybe with little nutritional chunks inside.
There's the bigger problem looming in all of the southwestern part of the United States, and that's water.
Yeah.
Clean water. It is going to be an increasing problem, and the very fact that a political unit in California has proposed this now and are saying that it wouldn't be in full effect until 5 years.
Well, they wouldn't have the fully aged product ready for the consumer.
Right. Toilet to tap and tap to toilet. But I really do think it's a sign of what we're going to see more headlines, more places that are facing the same problem is expanding populations in areas where they don't have enough clean water. And that is going to be a southwest problem. And already the aquifer out in that area, the Ogallala is down quite a ways.
Yep.
And the Colorado River is now, it is stripped to the bone by the time it gets down to Arizona, and Colorado wants more of it back.
Well, they say by really emptying the toilets big time, the project will generate 11.4 billion gallons a year, enough to supply about 70,000 families.
Well, they do it in outer space, so why not in homes?
I don't know. It's just the thought of it, I guess. A lot of people not too happy about it, frankly. Let's see, Lori Dinkin, president of the Valley Village Homeowners Association, said, "This is human waste. I'm very uneasy about that." Anyway, back to the lines. First time caller line, you're on the air with Linda Moulton Howe. Hello.
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 Hi.
Hi, I have a question. How much of the atomic testing and stuff like that could you accredit to global warming and depletion of the ozone?
Well, that's an interesting question. I don't know about global warming.
Well, we haven't had officially atomic testing legal in the United States above ground since, I think, the 60s.
That's true.
So that,
The French did some.
Yeah, the French did some in the oceans. But for the most part, we've had 35 years, I think, or so, without that as a problem. And global warming, if you and other listeners may not have a clear idea, it boils down to carbon dioxide and other gases that we emit from tailpipes and industries that have been added to the atmosphere, the lower atmosphere, on an accelerating rate for at least the last 40 years. And as this increase in carbon dioxide and other gases began to pile up in the lower altitudes, it was like a blanket, literally, around the planet. That's an accurate metaphor. That is apparently what has been, or at least scientists now think, that we humans in our industry certainly have contributed to this continual spiking of temperatures. And when I get off the air, I'm going to be posting at earthfiles.com in the environment section the report I did earlier tonight with the temperature graphs that NOAA has done and released recently that show this steady 20th century climb of temperatures up to 2000. I mean, it is not stopping, and it is going to keep going. That is related to this blanket around the Earth of these gases.
No, and the news is very hardcore. I mean, it's the hottest months. It's the hottest years following the hottest years following the hottest years.
The hottest winter.
Yeah, there's a pattern here. It's obvious. Wild Card Line, you're on the air with Linda Moulton Howe. Good morning.
Good morning. I do appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
One thing I've always looked at is glaciers. And I used to live in Anchorage, Alaska. In fact, I had a particular little glacier I was kind of fond of. We used to be able to actually walk across the lake that had formed in
Sure.
Arctic Glacier.
Sure.
I've often looked at the Mars situation as far as a point of the with the glacier situation we found in the ice caps as a way of actually finding life on Mars. Because the one thing that kind of came out, and excuse me, in the early 80s, up in Anchorage was the fact that we had this little, little tourist thing called ice worms or glacier worms. And it was kind of like a little joke, and everybody kind of thought it was kind of funny. We used to sell these little fuzzy little glacier worms. Well, one day a scientist actually tested some glacier ice and discovered there's little living microbes inside the actual glacier ice.
Mm-hmm.
And as I see the Mars situation, I expect NASA any day to just to pop out and go, oh, and by the way, our next stage will be these little microbes. You know, that will be our definition of the next term of life. But
it will be our introduction to we're not alone in the universe will come probably to us from Mars. You're right, because then it's safe, it's far away, and they will probably do it as a microbe level first.
And they're just worms.
Yeah, and then people will get used to that, and then eventually we'll be introduced to the actual humanoids. But on this planet, I have done over the last several years so many stories from deep in gold mines in South Africa to Antarctica to all kinds of frozen core studies, that life, they find life in what seems the most impossible places on our Earth.
Virtually everywhere, actually.
Yes, and there are the anaerobics that can survive outside of oxygen, things that survive on sulfuric kinds of acid, high temperatures, low temperatures, frozen. That one story I did about the fact that some of the Khaleesi viruses that have been connected with various animal diseases and deaths appear to come from the oceans. And that led some research that led back to the fact that as the glaciers melt and run off into the oceans, that microbes that have been preserved for who knows how long can then be released into the oceans, and they come up through seals that and fish and things that get eaten by land animals, and this cycle out of preserved ice into the oceans up into the land is something that scientists have been studying and reporting about.
Well, one thing I've noticed is 1995, that little glacier I was talking about, actually the glacier usually only moved about 1/4 of an inch every year. I mean, it was something that they actually measured to the point of where it was literally, if it moved a half an inch, it was a big spike. Well, in 1996, it receded 4 miles.
And 4 miles in 96 alone.
Exactly, in 1 year alone. And in fact, I filmed part of it as before it disappeared. And what blew my mind was the next year when I came back to it and actually found out that it receded 4 miles. It was an amazing process. In Anchorage, Alaska, I noticed, I spent about 12 years up there. We went through a very, almost a cold situation to a balmy situation to where the Iditarod sled dog race was affected quite a few times. And, and it was a situation where we're looking at a lot of different climate changes. And our oceans is a big part of our existence. And what's going underneath there just might tell, or might what's be going up on the glacier top might also be foreboding to what actually might happen to our Earth.
Oh, I would think the glaciers would be first to go. I mean, if you're measuring increases in ocean temperature at 10,000 feet or 1,000 feet down, imagine what it takes to put that kind of heat that far down. Just close your eyes and imagine a half a degree at 1,000 feet. That is what they said, right?
Right, and Dr. Schindel said, think of the energy that has to be applied to a bucket, let's say a gallon bucket of water, when you have something as concentrated as a stove to heat up a bucket of water.
Exactly.
And when you translate that out to some of the oceans are a couple of miles deep, and they cover 2/3 of the Earth, and they've been doing these measurements, 5 million temperature profiles in the Atlantic, the Pacific, and the Indian Oceans. It's a vast amount of water that they've been getting measurements from for nearly 50 years. And for them to see in the last decades that they've now got this kind of temperature change down that deep, it truly is a surprise to everyone.
Hey, Linda, if they did find Martian worms, nothing more serious than a Martian worm, would you be concerned about them bringing Martian worms back here?
Everybody would be. I mean, anybody who had any intelligence about this at all. You don't want to be mixing and matching any kind of foreign DNA or life before you know what the consequences would be here or us there. And I think that that is sometimes not stressed enough.
Well, do you think for one second if we actually mounted a manned mission to Mars, as they're talking about, say, in 10 years, and they found Martian worms, that they would leave them there and not bring them back?
Well, we deal with things like the horrible Ebola virus and all of that stuff, you know, and these labs and all of these sealed containers and all of this stuff now that we're supposed to be able to handle very dangerous things safely. And I'm assuming that whatever they would find on Mars, well, there would be a couple of decisions. Would they build a laboratory of some sort there and start leaving what would be the very first, we'll call it the frontier, the covered wagon group that would go to Mars and stay there to do science once they had found something like that? Or would they try to bring them back and have some kind of containers on that first mission that would be able to preserve something that was unknown? And I'm assuming that NASA has to work all this sort of protocol out by now. But they're not telling us because I don't think they want us to concentrate on life anywhere yet. It's like
these would be the same people who did the metric to feet connection.
And anyway, east of the Rockies, you're on the air with Linda Moulton Howe. Hello.
Good morning, Art and Linda.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, I'm calling from Carterville, Illinois. My name is Chris.
Yes,
I'm listening to you on 1140 WJPF.
Yes, sir.
And I'd like to make a quick comment and a question to Linda. And Art, I just want to thank you for 3 years of intrigue that I've been listening to you for the most intriguing radio since they invented the radio.
Thank you.
Specifically Tesla, not Marconi. But, anyway, my question is, Art and Linda, you can answer this both. I think you succeeded in cracking the PBS barrier because 2 nights ago they had a 2-hour special on a Frontline Nova special where they both collaborated in a 2-hour special on global warming.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to congratulate you, Art, because I think your and Whitley's book really has brought this subject to the fore, and I don't think programs like this would be on now.
Yeah, it's not just that book, though. I mean, we've been on this subject with Linda now for years,
yep.
and during the years, I might add, where people who talk about this kind of thing were almost publicly machine-gunned.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, I have gotten faxes from people in the past, not so much in the last year, but I used to get faxes after I would do a straightforward interview with a scientist who was reporting data concerning a global warming trend, and I would get a fax that would be addressed to something like, you must be a communist. You want to undermine this country. Why don't you go to Russia? And that kind of perverse thinking was so bizarre, and you would realize that there were people that were somehow so threatened by a discussion, a straightforward factual discussion with scientists about a change on the earth that was huge and was not going to change, that it would make people go into denial. And the fact is, we can't be in denial anymore. We've got to deal with what is happening.
Yeah, the only thing that has changed, really, is that the people who send those kinds of emails and faxes have begun to shut up for good cause. That's all that's changed. The global warming continues.
Yeah.
Caller, thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Linda Moulton Howe and Art Bell. Good morning.
Hi, Art. This is SB6, Harbinger of Hope, calling you from Sausalito, California. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
Hi. I am so grateful to Dr. Bill Wadenberg. He helped me and many others get through the Y2K crisis by referencing the journal Science and saying this is specifically why it's going to be a dud. Pardon me. I just got off my treadmill here. And I stood here by the water in Sausalito and watched the city of San Francisco at the stroke of midnight on December 31st, and saw nothing happen. It was glorious.
Yeah.
And what I want to ask you two things. What is the exact reference? I want to call Dr. Bill this weekend and give him this reference in the journal Science, because he respects that completely. And he told me not 2 weeks ago that we have not lost half of our Arctic ice sheet. I'm really suspicious of that, and he respects the journal Science tremendously, and he would be a wonderful, wonderful, powerful person to have on your side.
Okay, well, the figure, first of all, is 40%, I believe.
Yeah, it's 40%, and I've interviewed the scientists who have been the analysts on the satellite data, as well as, physically going there, and that's not under dispute by anyone. That's absolutely a fact. We lost 40% of the Arctic ice cap in the last 25 years.
Great. Can you give me the exact reference in the journal Science that you gave earlier in the show for this 900-foot down, half a degree temp increase?
Yeah, it was the March 30th.
All right.
Science.
Of 2000.
Yeah.
Great. And the last question I have for you, I have a property owner friend who has a beautiful little house out on Corte Madera Creek. That's just up the bay shore here in San Francisco. And 2 winters ago, for the first time, he's on the thing for 20, 25 years, and he had water coming into his basement. First time in 20, 25 years from a winter storm, and he's getting real concerned, and he told me, Stephen, what I think may be going on here, more than just the glacial melting, is when you increase the temperature of any volume of water, it expands.
That's right.
And how much of an impact versus the ice melting? Which in your study do you think is the greater contributor to the rising island disappearing waters that we have these days?
Both. They are both, and they are written about in every report that is written concerning when they do computer models. You not only have to take into consideration the warmer temperature that is affecting the water and the fact that we've got ice that is melting off of land and increasing sea level rise, but you do have this expansion of water molecules as they heat up, and both have to be figured.
So you say ratio-wise it's about the same?
Well, I don't know how I would put a percentage on it, but I know that scientists don't separate the two. They go hand in hand.
Okay. All right, Art, I'm going to miss you, buddy, and don't get caught in that hellhole of trash out there in Tennessee too deep, huh?
Have a good morning, sir.
Take care.
Take care. Linda, hold on. We'll be right back and do another half hour. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Stay right where you are.
Don't feel it growing day by day. Keep on up, keep on letting go of me. Come ahead, come on, stay. Oh, come on, let the music play. What the people need is a way to make them smile.
Recently on Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell, a caller made a shocking discovery about the very nature of Art himself.
First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Is this Art?
What's your best guess?
This is a pre-recorded voice, isn't it?
Damn, do you know that you're only like the fifth caller to discover that, sir?
No, I'm serious.
I'm serious, too. You're only the fifth one in the history of the show. You're only the fifth caller.
It's all pre-recorded, then.
That's right. You as a caller, one of the few callers in all these years have done that.
That's not right, though. It shouldn't be a voice recording. It should be a human being.
I'm sorry. The time for human beings is coming to an end.
Are you serious?
As serious as I've been about the rest of this call.
In nature, we see reflections of our children. The tree is the strong one. The ocean rambunctious and untamed. Like our children, each brings something wonderful and unique. They add color. They bring life. They amaze. They can be as large as a mountain, or as small as a blade of grass. Yet in the eyes of importance, they are all the same size. And to choose the sky over the water would be like choosing one child over the next. An impossibility as large as the world itself. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. To learn how you and your employer can help, please visit our website at www.earthshare.org. A public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ant Council.
While our children's eyes are filled with wonder and curiosity, we're left to wonder if they'll ever be able to handle the challenges of the real world. Look closely at who they already are, at the things they discover on their own. To a child, playtime is a rehearsal for the real world they will inherit as adults. It's where they learn to be tolerant, to share, to communicate how they feel, to dream. Don't underestimate the power of play.
A message from the American Toy Institute.
Every action is a reaction. White kids aren't born to hate blacks. Black kids aren't born to hate white.
This is Passages. I'm Dennis Benson. This professional basketball player knows the difficulties of shaking off hate.
It's taught in the family, especially the inner city. Usually the dads are probably in jail, so they're single parents, so the mother is really mad. The mother brings all the frustration on the children, which pushes them away to the streets.
Mel's dad was important to him.
I think that the role of the father is really important because kids need to see that, because a lot of times our view of God is from the view of our own earthly fathers.
Sometimes parents try too hard.
A lot of parents work a lot because they try to make money, but a lot of money can buy a nice dog, but love will make it wag his tail.
Mel overcame the fact that he was 5'8" to become a basketball star.
My dad was very instrumental in my life because he spent a lot of time with me. He showed me he loved me, so when he whipped me, I know it was out of respect, so it's a big responsibility for a father and the family.
Mel's compassion is a challenge from your Presbyterian and United Methodist friends.
Art Bell and special guest George Carlin.
I love an earthquake. I love a bigger earthquake. They're never as big as I'd like. No, we need a 25. I think of it as an amusement park ride, all right? It's really, I mean, it's such a wonderful thing to realize you have absolutely no control.
George, a 25 would turn entire continents over.
Now you're talking, Art.
Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell, weeknights on this station.
You know, you don't have to be a genius to mentor a child. To prove it, we're giving mentor Steve Oler a pop quiz. Ready, Steve?
Ready.
Okay, the subject is algebra. Is that a problem?
Oh, no, rare to go.
All right, then, let's begin. If 2x squared equals 98, what is the value of x? Steve?
Yeah, algebra. Can I get a pencil and paper?
Oh, sure, here you go.
2 multiplied by x.
While Steve figures that out, we'd like to remind you that to mentor a child, you don't have to be some math whiz.
Is it 4?
No. And if Steve here can improve a child's life, you can too.
9?
No. Do good. Call Save the Children toll-free at 1-877-BE-A-MENTOR. 8?
7?
You're right.
Yes.
Well, that's some good algebra, Steve.
Hey.
And that's 1-877-BE-A-MENTOR.
You already said that.
I know.
A message brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council. Dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. Or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Network.
Good morning, actually, to all of you. My guest is Linda Moulton Howe, and we're talking about, well, many things, our environment chiefly, but a lot of other things as well. Space, what may be out there, what may be here, and a lot more. So if you have a question, a relevant question for Linda, pick up your telephone and talk to us, because that's what we're all about. We'll get back to Linda in just a moment. In September of 1857, the steamship SS Central America, en route to New York, sank off the coast of North Carolina during a terrible storm. The principal cargo of that ship, a massive amount of gold from the gold fields of California and fresh from the U.S. Mint in San Francisco. Due to the great depth of the water, it wasn't until years later that modern technology would allow recovery of the wreck. Called America's greatest treasure, the ship was like a time capsule from the era of Abe Lincoln. For a free videotape of the actual discovery, that's free, call David Hall's North American Trading at 1-800-359-4255. Now, a few of these wonderful coins are being made available to the public.
most as new and beautiful as the day they were minted 140 years ago. Share the excitement of the search for the treasure. Be with the explorers when the first piece of incredible gold is found on the ocean floor over a mile and a half below the surface. Every American should have this free video of our national treasure. That's 1-800-359-4255. A medical journal recently called it a silent epidemic. Thousands and thousands of Americans suffer or even die each year from ulcers and other stomach-related problems caused by aspirin, ibuprofen, and related drugs. If you're an arthritis sufferer and you want to avoid these internal medications, now there is an alternative you should know about, a product called Jointritis. Available at Walgreens, Osco, Save-On, and Meijer, Jointritis combines a powerful and clinically proven external pain relief medicine with lanolin, glucosamine, and chondroitin. The menthol in Jointritis is the strongest pain reliever of its type available without a prescription. And because of its triple skin conditioners, Jointritis penetrates deeply and works fast to relieve minor arthritis pain. Jointritis is applied externally, so there are no internal side effects, which some pain pills can cause. New Jointritis, arthritis pain relief ointment with triple skin conditioners, lanolin, glucosamine, and chondroitin. Jointritis for joint relief, now available at Walgreens, Osco, Save-On, and Meijer. Do you want to melt away excess body fat and trim those unwanted inches? If you think Metabolife works, listen closely. Introducing Ultimate Slim, a unique all-natural formula designed to metabolize fat into energy and rid your body of excess water weight so you'll quickly lose pounds and inches within minutes. You're going to feel more energy. Within days, you'll lose inches. Your clothes will be looser. And within weeks, your waist will be thinner. Ultimate Slim is perfect if you want a lean, sexy body, but don't have time for a lot of caloric counting or long, sweaty workouts. If your goal is to lose inches from your hips, thighs, waist, and buns quickly and easily, then Ultimate Slim is for you. Here's a special introductory offer for a limited time only. When you order two bottles of Ultimate Slim, you get two more absolutely free. Now, that's 50% off, averaging to just $14.97 per bottle, a tremendous savings off the typical $30 to $40 for comparable products. So call now, 1-800-557-4627. That's 1-800-557-4627. 1-800-557-4627. All right, once again, here comes from Philadelphia, where it's getting really early, actually, about 20 to 6, I suspect. Lynn Moltenow, Linda, hi.
Yeah, the sun will be coming up soon.
We all depend on that. All right.
But I can't think of anything that I would rather have done tonight, Art, in the fact that you're going to close a chapter on one part of your life and go into another, because really it has been one of the highlights of my life to be able to talk about subjects I think that are important as long as we can in this format.
And I would hope, Linda, that you would continue to do that with Mike Siegel.
Yes, I would like to very much, and Whitley and I will continue working together on Dreamland. And so in a way, I guess you've left a legacy that is going to carry on. It will never be quite the same without you, but at least you've left a legacy that hopefully we can all continue to keep opening doors on subjects that should not be closed.
Well, the only absolute constant in life is change.
Right.
But as you point out, hopefully the genre of the show will remain as it is now.
Yeah.
That's what counts for me. It means a lot to me. First time caller line, you're on the air with Linda Moulton Howe. Hi.
Hi, Linda. Hi, Art.
Hi.
This is Mark calling from Little Chute, Wisconsin.
Ah.
Hey, Linda, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I'm worried about those, I was wondering about those deformed frogs and stuff that they found in, like, Minnesota. And,
yes.
In the areas like that, where they got, you know,
yeah, back
lakes.
In the, actually, it's back in the news again.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Well, and I think one of the more important series of interviews about that I did was with Dr. Blaustein up at Oregon State University, and he did a very interesting field test out on a lake where he took larvae that they knew had no parasites, was completely healthy, had been developed in the lab from healthy frogs, and they went out onto the Cascade Lakes where amphibians have evolved over hundreds of thousands of years. He divided that same larva group up into two batches, and one had a UV filter over it, and the other were eggs just floating on the water the way eggs do, and they actually go down under the water in some places, but a lot of them are up on top. And when they compared the two groups, the as the eggs were developing and then becoming tadpoles, the UV-filtered eggs, all of them hatched or evolved into tadpoles and were healthy. In the ones that had no UV filter, there were only 15% that did not die. It was an 85% mortality rate on the eggs themselves. And of the 15% that did survive to evolve into a tadpole, they were all deformed.
Wow.
Now, Dr. Blaustein wrote this up in Nature magazine, laid out the protocols, laid out everything they did, and said that his conclusion was that at least some of the deformities had to be related to increased UV exposure light. Then, about 2 months after that, I believe it was the Wall Street Journal, they had somebody do an article saying that the effort to tie increased UV radiation light to the amphibian deformities was nonsense, that it was all parasites. And then the scientific community got into a fight about it, and I don't think that the controversy has been resolved.
No.
And I stand back from this and say that Dr. Blaustein did an extremely good and precise experiment in the field that no one argued with, including Nature magazine, which published it, and something killed all of those eggs and left 15% deformed, and the only thing that was controlled for, meaning that was the one operative, and that was UV exposure.
Yeah, a little parasite's probably named Doug and Dave. Hey, Linda, I've got something I want to read you. It's quite serious, and it's something you may want to look into. It's email that just arrived. Linda, it was reported last night, actually very early this morning, on, I believe, Canadian radio station CCBC Radio 100.7 AM, that, get this, ship captains trying to navigate the waters of the Great Lakes are finding it quite difficult. As of the last 2 weeks, the water levels have fallen some 20 feet lower than they ever had been previously since such measurements had begun, thus making transferring ships' commerce by normal route channeling, adhered to for hundreds of years, next to impossible. What may be even more interesting and anomalous and unusual, the fact that small islands are emerging through the Great Lakes and the canals associated with them. Occurrences of large, hazardous, boulder-sized rocks are popping up where least expected, making the once even most common, uneventful crossing too dangerous an undertaking even for the more experienced ship captains. Cause attributed to the record high temperatures this past winter associated with increasing the pace of global warming.
Yes, I have another article on this, and this falls into the category of these pendulum swings that we've been talking about in global warming, in which some areas will go into drought-like conditions.
And when you have 20 feet.
Yes, when you have warm temperatures and you do not have the moisture that you're used to having, this is the kind of thing that will happen. And as probably everybody who lives in the Great Lakes area knows, we went through this winter it's a very mild winter. And the winter before. So we are in this experiment. Will the pendulum swing back the other way next year for Michigan, still inside of the global warming trend, or will it get drier? And if it gets drier without water, what does happen to a very huge central transportation by water location between Canada and the United States?
You're here. 20 feet. Gosh. Small temperature changes seem to make really big differences. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Linda Moulton Howe. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Art. Good morning, Linda.
Hi.
Linda, have you been following the
the eruption rate this year. University of North Dakota keeps very good records, I think. Within the last 5 years, it usually averages 14, 15 a year. We're at 20 right now.
Yep.
I have another question also. But
You heard me readings. You heard me read some of those earlier.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any comment or have you been following that, Linda?
Well, volcanoes, for reasons that I don't know, it may be clear to some volcanologists, but volcanoes do seem to erupt together and in cycles that seem to be related with perhaps deep underground motion in some cases. And this is not unprecedented.
Yeah, except, Linda, that volcanologists are always saying, with regard to some connection between them, Boulder Dash.
Thank you.
They are saying that, Linda. They always say that.
We're on a pace to hit 60, Linda.
I'm sorry?
We're on a pace to hit 60 eruptions this year.
Yeah.
Where we average 15.
Well, the thing is that we are on continents where there is motion, and there's motion deep, and there's motion surface, and that's why we have earthquakes and everything else, and volcanoes are all part of that.
Okay, could I ask you another question, too, about how do you feel about the fact that NASA's Earth Science Enterprise Division is asking the Native Americans what their take on the environment is?
That's a really good one.
Well, I can explain that a little better. What NASA did was provide some money for a reprinting of a book that was put together by one of the American Indian agencies that had to do with whether it was Hopi or Navajo, or it was a variety of tribes, in terms of what they've said from their wise leaders or whoever it was that was saying, I look into the future and I see, and that there have been all these stories out of the North American traditions about a time coming when the strawberries would die
That
the birds would die. And it wasn't as if NASA had actually gone to the Indians for guidance. It was that they supported the publication of this book that contained this old wisdom information, and I would assume that NASA and anybody that is on this earth right now, inside of a global warming trend with consequences that no one is certain about, that it would just be of general interest about what the North American tribes had to say about a time coming when these changes began to occur.
Trees dying from the tops down.
Right, which sounded like acid rain destruction.
And what's going on in a lot of places. I mean, there is a lot of, you can call it whatever you want, wisdom, myth, ancient knowledge, and I guess maybe some of it seems so on the mark that they thought,
they would support the publication of this journal.
Precisely. All right, let's move. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Linda Moulton Howe. Hi.
Hi, it's Roberta. I live in Twain Heart, California.
Yes.
And which is right out of Sonora. And I've heard, Linda many times, and I just don't recall ever hearing her discuss these gosh darn chemtrails.
Oh, I did a whole series of reports.
Did you?
Yes, a year and a half ago, it was, in fact, I was down in Sedona, Arizona, and Phoenix on a weekend, 2 days apart, where I saw with my own eyes some kind of a large silver plane make a gigantic singular X in a blue sky in Sedona, and I was standing there watching with several other people. And we really couldn't fathom why this plane would be making this gigantic X. And we went to lunch, and within about 90 minutes when we came back, that blue Sedona sky with that big X was now all milky, colored all over. It was just milky cloud. And 2 days later, I was in Phoenix, landed at the airport there, and I was stunned to see a plane making another big X in the sky over the Phoenix airport, and that was at the time when everybody was beginning to talk about this. The frustration there on that story, I found it intriguing to interview people who had either photographs or videotape of what you would say looked like some kind of an object in a contrail, and in some cases it actually looked silver. But when I took the contrail photos, it seemed to me to be baffling as 90 degrees or X's or spirals mm-hmm. to pilots, including my own brother. They dismissed it all as this is no consequence, that X's over a place like Sedona, if you look on an airport map, you will see that that's where air traffic crosses right over Sedona. They always had logical explanations. And I'm not saying there isn't something to all of these stories over Canada and the United States, but I found, Art, that it was like trying to pick up mercury.
Yeah.
I don't know if you had that same feeling of frustration.
No,
I know.
The thing is, it used to be like once a week. Now it's every day.
Linda, there are, aside from the issue of chemtrails, something secret and some black op type deal going on, there is a legitimate scientific issue about contrails themselves affecting our weather.
Yes, and they're also behind and inside of all of this. I think that there really have been legitimate experimentations by our government, trying to deal with these aerosols. Of if we had a terrorist attack with various kinds of whatever it might be, whether it was smallpox or any one of these bacteria that we've heard about, could we possibly deal on a large scale with a population with something that would neutralize an attack? And this, I think, may or may not have been part of what's been happening, but how can any of us prove it? Unless the government states it?
There's only one way I know of, and that is the next step that I believe people are working on. You would have to go to altitude and get good samples of whatever this stuff is and come back and analyze it. Otherwise, I don't see how we're going to answer the question.
Yeah. And so these are stories where probably something is there, but until you can prove it, you're still in the world of speculation.
But I too, Linda, have seen what seem to be contrails, or call them chemtrails if you wish, form into a general misty cloudiness.
Exactly.
I've seen it myself, Linda. So
yeah.
I don't know.
It's very odd over Sedona, which is normally crystal blue.
Sure. Same out here. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Linda Moulton Howe, not a lot of time. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Art, and hi, Linda. And I know there's not much time. A gentleman called in and wanted to know the facts about that 40% reduction story.
Yeah.
I'm reading a story right here in front of me that came back from November 16, 1999. That came from Dr. Andrew Rothrock at the University of Washington, Seattle. It was printed in the journal Geophysics Research Letters, if he wants to find that. But actually what that came from, reading from this article here, is that nuclear submarines did get that data.
And we didn't get it until after the Cold War. They knew it, and they were keeping it secret.
Yeah, they had public data until 1976, I guess.
Yeah, that's true, but it was finally the satellite photos, too, that they've been taking over the last 10 or 15 years combined with that submarine data that clinched it.
Yep, I think the submarine data preceded the satellite data, but the satellite data simply clinched it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what this article saying is that it had lost 4.3 feet of ice compared to the 60s and 70s that the nuclear submarines had measured. But anyway, I'll get off the line and let you guys, there's not much time left.
You're right, there isn't, in more ways than one. Linda?
Well, you know, Art, if it would be all right, I'd like to at least let the Coast listeners that are left know that so many of the subjects related to this issue of the non-human intelligence is in my documentaries and books, and I hope that people who are serious about that research would go either to earthfiles.com in the bookstore where they are referenced and linked to amazon.com.
Right.
Or go to amazon.com, just type in my name, and you will come up to the work, the three books, and I've also done documentaries. And I think that there is so much in there that is important for people who really want some facts about how complex all this is. And for people who would like to get in touch with me directly, you can fax me at 215-491-9842. That's 215-491-9842.
Linda, that's it. We're out of time.
Okay.
A lot of years, my lady.
Well, I'm going to miss you very much, and it doesn't seem possible that we will not do this again. Maybe we will.
Linda, good night.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Weird stuff on the radio. Art Bell wrote the book. Actually, Art really did write the book. His bestseller, The Quickening. Art's also behind one of the hottest websites on the internet, artbell.com. It should come as no surprise to you that Art Bell has a radical newsletter as well. It's called After Dark. It's not the internet. It's not on newsstands. It's not to be missed. To subscribe, call 1-888-727-5505. After Dark is chock full of beautiful color photos, detailed articles on the very subjects that fascinate Art, and articles written by who else but Art. A one-year subscription is only $39.95 for 12 monthly issues. Call toll-free 1-888-727-5505. Weird never looked this good. Call right now, 1-888-727-5505. It's called After Dark.
Look, Mommy, I see a license plate from Florida. I'm winning!
Millions of Americans are suffering from retinal degenerative diseases like macular degeneration and RP. And it's not a game.
And there's one from Arizona. How come you're not playing, Grandma?
If you or a loved one are affected, please call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-394-8280 for free information, including the latest research. That's 1-800-394-8280.
Earlier today, the group that wrote the book on parental stress gave reporters their solutions to this problem.
Play games. Get them a book, and then we could sit down and read it together. Give them a little coupon. They could be good for, like, one day of cooking dinner so they could have a break, or a day of breakfast in bed.
Family, isn't it about time?
Take a cruise to the Bahamas, maybe for a week.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.